Seth has already mentioned, we appreciate our visitors that we have and those who are regularly with us, and it's good to be able to come together this morning to worship God. In the scripture reading out of Mark chapter 12, Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And I want us to consider this morning how important it is to put our all into everything we do. Do we give everything we do 100%? Are we all in, as we might say? That's a basic principle that we want to look at this morning, and we're going to use the Old Testament example of Caleb. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 14, we're going to use his example this morning to encourage us to make sure that we're putting 100% into everything we do, that we are wholly committed to serving the Lord. That basic principle is so important in every aspect of our life. Because when we're not putting 100% into what we're doing, we find that we're unhappy. And when we're unhappy, it often leads to unfaithfulness, it often leads to problems. And it starts right back at the root cause of not putting our all into that which we are engaged in. And it's really a part of every aspect of our life. No matter what relationship we're entering into, we need to put our all into that. You take marriage, parenting, work, the local church, being a Christian, it could even be something like a hobby. If we don't put our all into that, we don't really care about it as much as we could, and it often leads to problems. What happens in marriage when the husband and wife do not put 100% into that relationship? What happens? We know what happens. Problems soon set in, and sometimes it even leads to divorce. We know what happens when we don't put our all into our work. Maybe you work with a coworker that doesn't put 100% into what they're doing, and a lot of times you end up doing their work. It causes problems in marriage, at work, in parenting, dating. It could be a hobby. It could be a sport. When we don't put our all into something, it could be our schoolwork. What happens when we're not putting our all into our schoolwork? We know what happens with the bad grades and other things like that. And most importantly, our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we don't put our all into it, then we see manifest problems that arise. A lot of times it starts with attendance, and we just don't come like we could. Now, we would never miss work, but when it comes to church services, you know, we miss and so forth. So it shows up there. It shows up maybe in our faithfulness. It shows up in our prayer life. It shows up in our wanting to read the Bible or not. We're just not putting our all into it. And it shows up. And it causes problems. So this morning, I wanted us to be reminded as we're going through the book of Joshua, as Bob is taking us through that study, to be reminded this morning of the statement of Joshua that he wholly followed the Lord. And if he can do it, we can do it. And we should do it. When you turn to Joshua chapter 14 in your Bible, you're looking at a section of scripture that involves what we call the division of the land. And it's tempting in this section of the book of Joshua to skip over some things because it talks a lot about geography. And which tribe gets this part and which tribe gets that part. And you start reading in there and there's a lot of details about different towns and borders. And this particular tribe has this town as a border and then on this side is another border. And you're thinking, I'm going to skip over this. But if we'll take the time to read through this section of Joshua, there are rewarding lessons that are found there. And one of those is found in Joshua chapter 14 with regard to the giving of the territory of Judah, because Caleb was from Judah, this particular part of the story is included here in chapter 14, and we're going to read from verses 6 through the end of the chapter this morning. And when we read this text of Scripture, we're going to find out the kind of person that Caleb was and that we need to be today. Are you putting your all into everything you do? Am I putting my all into everything I do? Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah drew near unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that Jehovah spake unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and concerning thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of Jehovah, sent me from Kadesh to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed Jehovah my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy foot hath trodden shall be an inheritance to thee and to thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed Jehovah my God. And now, behold, Jehovah hath kept me alive as he spake these 45 years from the time that Jehovah spake this word unto me while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, and my strength was then even so as my strength now for war and to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this hill country whereof Jehovah spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and the cities great and fortified. It may be that Jehovah will be with me, and I shall drive them out as Jehovah spake. And Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed Jehovah the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron before was Kiriath Arba, which Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. In this section of Scripture, there's a statement that is repeated 3 times. It is found 3 times in this text. And when you're doing your personal Bible study at home and Bible reading at home, whenever you read a passage of Scripture in the Old or New Testament where a word or phrase is repeated, the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you that I want to emphasize this particular point. So look for repeated words and phrases when you're doing your Bible reading. And when you come to this section of Scripture, you find the statement about Joshua wholly following the Lord. You find that that is repeated in this text. And that's what we want to focus on. That's what Caleb was all about. He completely put his heart, his whole heart, into serving God. And that's our admonition this morning. When we don't, problems arise. And some of them may have eternal consequences. It's so important to put 100% into everything we do, especially our service to Jesus Christ. Notice in this text of Scripture in chapter 14, the 3 places where this statement is mentioned, it's by 3 different individuals. This is interesting. The first time that it shows up in verse 8, it is Joshua speaking. He said, I wholly followed the Lord. Can we say that? Can we say that this morning, that we're putting our 100% into serving the Lord, 100% into this local congregation, 100% into this relationship that I have with Jesus Christ? Can I say that? Notice in the second place, the second person that mentioned this statement is Moses. Did you notice that? Moses mentioned it in verse 9. So now we have somebody else saying it. Now we have corroborating evidence. It's not just me saying it, but there's somebody else out here that sees the same thing in my life. Moses said that he had wholly followed the Lord. And then notice down at the end of the text in verse 14 that it wasn't Joshua saying this or Moses, it's the person who is writing the book of Joshua. Now we have even further testimony and corroborating evidence with regard to Caleb. Whoever wrote the book, most people believe that it might be Joshua himself. He's commenting on Caleb. And then we're going to see later in the lesson when we get over into the book of Numbers that God himself makes that point. And so this morning, we want to be encouraged to put our all into serving the Lord. Go ahead and turn back to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to be coming there next. If you can remember Joshua 14 and Numbers 14, you can get a good picture of the life of Caleb. But as you're turning back there, I just wanted to make a point about Judah later, much later after this story. Judah in the days of King Asa, it said that they had wholly followed the Lord. But then sometime after that, in the days of Jeremiah, that they did not wholly follow the Lord, and God brought the Babylonian captivity on them. Not wholly following the Lord, brethren, has consequences to it. We've got to put our all into any relationship that we're engaged in. Marriage, parenting, work, dating, the local church, our individual service to Christ. We've got to wholeheartedly do that, because if we do it 99%, the devil is going to exploit the 1%, and he often does. If we do it 99%, the devil is going to use the 1% to drive the wedge in the marriage or in the parent relationship or in the local church or wherever it's at. He's going to use that 1% to get us to become unfaithful. That's all he needs. We need to wholly follow the Lord. So back now in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at four ways in which Caleb wholly followed the Lord. We're going to look at four ways in which that is manifest in our life today. How is it that I wholly follow the Lord? Well, first of all, what it means to wholly follow the Lord means that we are going to follow all of His revealed will. We're not going to take a cafeteria-style approach to religion and go through the Bible and pick the portions that we like and leave undone the portions that we don't like. All of God's revealed will for us in Scripture, if it is for Christians today in the New Testament, we're going to do it. That's what it means, number one, to wholly follow the Lord. I'm reading my New Testament, and if it's for Christians of all times and all places, I'm going to do it. I'm all in that regard. Caleb, along with the other spies, you know the story, was told to spy out the land, and he did that. But I want you to notice something with me in verse 2 of Numbers chapter 13. It wasn't simply that they were to follow a command, go spy out the land. All of them did that. But along with the command, there's a promise. Let me say that again. Along with the command is a promise. And that is where faith comes in. Along with obedience to the command, there is faith in the promise. And that happens a lot in the New Testament. Some people will follow a command, but they won't have faith in a promise. And so God says, send thou men that they may spy out the land. That's the command, which I gave unto the children of Israel. That's a promise. What happened with the 10 spies was they followed the command, but they don't truly believe that God is going to give them the land. So, well, there's giants in the land and we can't do it. God just said, I will give you the land. And so following God's will
is not just simply following a list of some commands, but there's other things that go along with that. And we have to have faith in those promises as well. And that's what set Joshua and Caleb apart, as we'll see later in the lesson. They all obeyed the command to spy out the land, but Joshua and Caleb were the only two who had faith that they could actually go in and take what God had already said He was going to give them. But to wholly follow the Lord means to do all of God's will for us and not go through the New Testament and pick and choose the things that we like and discard the rest. Are we following all of the revealed will of God in the New Testament? I like how Moses even said up front, look at verses 17 through 20. Moses said up front that when you get over into this land, it may be good or bad. There may be giants or not. It may be fat or lean. Moses says in advance that you might be facing some challenges, but be of good courage, verse 20. Moses is realistic. And Joshua and Caleb later, they were realistic. Everybody says that there's giants in the land. That's true. That's realistic. What set Joshua and Caleb apart is we have faith that we can conquer them. We need to be realistic. But in addition to being realistic to what's going on in life, we have to follow God's commands and believe in His promise and be faithful to the Lord. And Joshua and Caleb did that. Of course, we know the stories, how the 10 spies discouraged the people and got them to murmur. Verse 33, we're just like grasshoppers in their sight. Chapter 14, 1 and following, the children of Israel begin to murmur. And it's interesting how the psalmist in Psalm 106, all the way down in probably the days of David, Psalm 106, 24 and 25, says that they murmured in their tents. Thanks to the 10 spies, Joshua and Caleb followed what the Lord said. Not only in spying out the land, the other 10 did that, but coming back with an attitude of faith that we can do this. And so look at chapter 13 and verse 30. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it through God's help. And then look at chapter 14 and verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were of them that spied out the land, rent their clothes and spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to spy it out is an exceeding good land. If Jehovah delight in us, of course He did and does, then He will bring us into this land and give it unto us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against Jehovah, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is removed from over them, and Jehovah is with us. Fear them not. So it's more than just following a command to spy out the land, but to have faith in that promise that God will give it to us, even though there's giants there. All of this is a part of holy following the Lord. Number two, what does it mean to wholly follow the Lord? Well, I'm going to follow all of God's will for my life as it is revealed in the New Testament. And number two, I'm going to follow the Lord in all circumstances. Not just when things are great, not just when I'm here at the church building. My service to the Lord is not just a Sunday thing and a Wednesday night thing. All circumstances, all throughout the day, every day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through. What circumstances did Caleb find himself in? Well, some negative circumstances. In chapter 13, verses 30 and following, the 10 spies are all negative. We can't do it.
You may recall, brethren, at the beginning of this year, if you want to go back and listen to it again, at the very beginning of this year, I had a sermon called The Language of Victory or The Language of Defeat. And this was one of the examples that I used in that sermon. When we get up each day, we can either use the language of victory, I can do this, we can do this, or we get up each day with the language of defeat, oh, we can't do this. Now, how do we approach life? Were Joshua and Caleb realistic? Yeah, they were realistic. There's actual giants in the land. They're not ignoring realism. It's real. But how you approach that is important. Life is going to have its problems, and we need to be realistic about that. But how do you approach that? And so in this particular circumstance, he is surrounded by a majority of men who are taking this negative, we can't do it, situation, and he is wholly following the Lord. And it's so bad that they want to stone him along with Joshua. Verse 10 of chapter 14, the congregation bade stone them with stone. The situation is not good here, and yet he is wholly following the Lord. So number two, not only are we going to follow all of God's will, but in all circumstances. I think about the Apostle Paul and all the problems that he went through. To wholly follow the Lord includes those times in life that are difficult. The serious illness, the cancer, the job loss, the personal problems, the bad situations. We're not going to be a fair weather Christian and be faithful only when times are good. I think about when these 12 spies are going up through the land. Everything's great. But later, stuff becomes negative. And yet, Caleb does what the Lord wants. So number two, it means to be completely devoted to God in all circumstances in life. And Paul will say in Philippians chapter 4, I know how to be abased, things taken away from me, and I know how to abound. Regardless of the situation, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. And that's what it means for us today. In all circumstances, we are going to serve the Lord faithfully. And we've gone through some negative things this past year. It's been a test and a trial for us. Circumstances have been bad and negative and all of that kind of thing. How did we fare through all of that? Well, the fact that you're here this morning, I think, is one testimony to how you fared through that. Some people did not make it spiritually. You're to be commended for that. So in all circumstances. Number three, what does it mean to wholly follow the Lord? Well, turn with me to chapter 14, and this is where God's testimony comes into play after Moses prays, Lord, please don't kill everybody. Have a forgiving heart, have a long-suffering heart. And Moses was known for his intercessory prayers. He had done it already at Mount Sinai with the golden calf, and we see him doing it here again. Look at chapter 14 and verse 20 with me. And Jehovah said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but in very deed as I live, as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Jehovah, because all those men that have seen my glory and my signs which I wrought in Egypt, those 10 spies should have known better. They had already seen the great things that God had done, and he can easily help them take care of these giants. They had seen these great signs and God's glory. In the wilderness, not only in Egypt, but in the wilderness, yet have tempted me these 10 times that have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that despise me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath wholly followed and fully followed him, he hath followed me fully, excuse me, him will I bring into this land, whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess. Why? Because he had a different spirit.
which means heart or attitude. To wholly follow the Lord, number three, means that we're going to have a different attitude and heart than the people in the world around us. Their attitude is, I don't want to obey God. My attitude is, I do want to obey God. Their attitude is, I can't. My attitude is, I can. Underscore that in your Bible, he had a different spirit, meaning he had a different attitude and a different heart. And brethren, we are in a world like the 10 spies, unbelieving. And we need to get up each day and have a different attitude. A different attitude about marriage and parenting and my job. In any relationship, a different attitude about the local church and my individual Christianity. I'm going to be different than someone I know. That's what it means to wholly follow the Lord. Doesn't it often and always start with attitude? That's why the proverb writer in Proverbs chapter 4 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's why. Because our attitude, our heart, dictates our actions. And Caleb was different in his attitude. And we see that. And I want to mention some things about that different attitude. Look at chapter 13 and verse 30 again. A different attitude, number one, is a positive attitude. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Did he not know that there were giants? No, he saw them just like everybody else. He had a positive attitude that we can do this. Look at the second thing that was different about his attitude. Look in chapter 14 and verse 8. If Jehovah delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it unto us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against Jehovah, neither fear the people of the land. The second thing that was different about his attitude was, I am more concerned about what God wants than what the people want. I believe in God. I know what God's word says. I focus on God. I believe in God. He's my main concern. And it's not about me and, well, we're grasshoppers and what do I think and what do I feel? But what does God say? And remember, God, I'm going to fear God. And we don't need to rebel against God. That's what made him different about his attitude. Verse 9, only rebel not against Jehovah, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is removed from over them, and Jehovah is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. A third thing about his attitude was, I don't care about the consequences of the position that I'm taking. Even if it puts me in a situation where I might have to die, I don't care. I'm going to serve God. We need that today. We need that positive attitude. We are able to do it. We need that God-fearing attitude, that God is the most important thing in my life. And number three, I don't care any negative ramifications or consequences of my actions. I'm going to serve the Lord. If you want to hold your hand there in Numbers chapter 14, actually, go ahead and turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. The fourth point that we're going to make comes from Joshua chapter 14. So turn with me to Joshua chapter 14 now. I wanted to say one more thing about Joshua's heart that we read earlier. In Joshua chapter 14, we read something that I want you to underscore in your Bible. In verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of Jehovah, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. Look at this. And I, along with Joshua, I brought him word again. Look at this. As it was in my heart. Underscore that. I brought him word again as it was in my heart. What was in his heart? Well, not that there's just grapes and giants. Everybody said that. What was in his heart was not only the factual, realistic information about what they saw, but the attitude of taking it. The attitude of believing in God and relying upon God. That's what was in my heart. And that's what needs to be in our heart each and every day. And then number four, what does it mean to wholly follow the Lord? Well, it means to follow the Lord all of the days of my life. Not just when I come up out of the waters of baptism and I'm zealous and I'm on fire like we usually are as new converts and new Christians. Not just early in life when things are going well, but all the days of my life. And so we find that he was 40 when this event took place. Now he's 85, and you get the point that Joshua is just going to do this the whole time. He's not going to quit toward the end of his life. He's not going to get older and quit. He's not going to get older and fall away. He's not going to get older and say, well, I'm going to go do something else. But I have wholly followed the Lord, number one, in doing everything God says. And number two, in all circumstances, even the negative ones. Number three, I'm going to put my whole heart into it, 100%. I'm going to have a different spirit, different attitude. And number four, it's going to be all the days of my life. And so we find then, in verse 10, the Lord has kept me alive as he spake these 45 years from the time that Jehovah spake this word unto Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and I'm still serving the Lord. And that's what we need. We have older brethren here this morning, and I appreciate you. We have their example. We have your faithfulness. We need that. That's encouraging. Thank you. And to wholly follow the Lord means we're going to do it until our last day, our dying breath. Brethren, this is what we need in our life. I want to talk a little bit before we close this morning about some other lessons. How can we have this attitude of Caleb? First of all, by keeping our eyes on the Lord. If you go back to Numbers chapter 14, we don't need to rebel against God. The whole section there, verses 6 through 9, is a focus on God. Don't listen to man. Don't fear man. What does God want us to do? How can we be better at wholly following the Lord? Number one, by focusing each and every day more on the Lord. And our daily Bible reading helps us to do that. Don't worry about the world around us and what they think or feel. Don't worry about what the 10 spies are saying. And the whole congregation, chapter 14, 1 and following, murmuring in their tents. Ooh, we can't do it. Murmuring in their tents, the psalmist says. Spreading throughout the camp. I'm not going to listen to what my fellow brethren are saying. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. Number two, I can wholly follow the Lord better if I'll change my attitude or my spirit. And I include myself in this. We can always improve our attitude. We can always become more faithful, more committed, more toward that 100% mark. All of us. How can we wholly follow the Lord? By being concerned that if we don't follow the Lord, we're going to be rejected by the Lord. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 32. Those who did not fully follow the Lord, they were not allowed to go into the land of Canaan. And I fear missing out on heaven. I'm not going to be allowed to go to heaven. And so I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. Who got to go? The person who wholly followed the Lord. He got to enter into Canaan land.
Numbers chapter 32,
and verse 11. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me.
They don't get to go in. Why? Because they didn't wholly follow me. Well,
who gets to? Verse 12. Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, because they have wholly followed me.
The reason I want to do this, brethren, the reason we want to do this is we want Canaan land. We want our Canaan land. We want heaven. And we don't want to be rejected.
Solomon, at the end of his life, was rejected because he didn't wholly follow the Lord. His wives turned him away.
1 Kings 11:6. And because of that great promise of reward, these texts say that Joshua and Caleb got to go in.
They were given that promise of reward because they followed the Lord wholly.
We want to go to heaven. We don't want to be rejected. And so it's so important to put our all into everything. You know, when you look through Scripture, and we'll close with this, when you look through Scripture, there are a number of areas in our life where we are to put our whole heart into what we're doing. Look at Psalm 9:1 and Psalm 86:12. When it comes to praising God, the psalmist says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And that's a great example for us today. Somebody says, well, I'm not really getting much out of the service. I don't feel like I'm a part of the service, and I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of the service. What are you putting into it? What am I putting into it? When we come to praise God, and so in our singing and our prayers and our Bible study and being around the Lord's table, I'm going to put my whole heart into that. If that means following along, if it means taking notes, if it means looking at the words better, if it means concentrating more, whatever it is, I'm going to praise God with my whole heart. I'm not going to come in and just fill a pew. God's Word, precepts. The psalmist in Psalm 119, and we don't have time to look at all these passages, but he says how that he loved God's Word with all of his heart. I love Bible study, and so I'm going to be at Bible class. I love Bible reading. That's why I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm putting my whole heart into it. I love God's Word. I love to read the Word of God, and my whole heart is there, not just because I'm being asked to raise my hand, but because I love it. Verse 2, I'm going to seek God with my whole heart. And I'm going to read God's Word and love God's Word with my whole heart. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Look at Psalm 119:145 when it comes to praying to God. Prayer, like singing and Bible study, can be something where we just sort of go through the ritual and the routine. And we have to be careful about that. Even in prayer, I need to put my whole heart into that. That's why when it comes time to say amen, I really believe that. And I'm going to walk out and I'm going to do the best I can to fulfill that amen that I said amen to. I have called with my whole heart. Answer me, O Jehovah. It shows up in prayer. It shows up in being penitent. I'm to return to God and be penitent with my whole heart. Sometimes we might wonder, well, why is it that I end up repeating that same sin over and over again? There could be a number of factors for that, but one factor might be I didn't really completely get rid of it and return to God fully. I need to fully come back to God. Jeremiah 24:7. I need to put my whole heart into being pure. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that when Jesus comes again, Paul's prayer was that
body, soul, and spirit would be found blameless and spotless at His coming. Every aspect in and out of our life is going to be clean.
And then, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, turn with me there, we'll close with this. I want to be improving in my personal Christianity in such a way that I'm putting my whole into it, and it's obvious that I am progressing and getting better, and that can be seen by everybody. I want to be so committed to Christ that it's obvious that I'm making progress in my service to Christ. Be diligent in these things, the things that He had been talking about from verse 6 down. Give thyself wholly to them that thy progress may be manifest unto all. Nobody has to wonder if I'm becoming more and more faithful to the Lord. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing this song of encouragement. We would encourage you to, if you need to come and be baptized into Christ, this morning can be that time where you show that you want to completely follow God. 100%. And you can show that in your putting on Christ in baptism. There may be someone here this morning that hasn't wholly followed the Lord, and others know about that, and you would like the prayers of the congregation here to help you to be greater committed in that regard. But I know from personal experience and from witnessing it in the lives of others that when we don't put 100% into our relationships, it causes problems. And all I want for us this morning is to be like Caleb. It might require us having a different attitude, a different heart, a different spirit. But let us all leave this morning encouraged to wholly follow the Lord. All of God's will for us, in all circumstances, with all of our heart, and all of our life. Are you ready to make that commitment to the Lord? Why won't you, as we stand and as we sing the song of encouragement?